Welcome to the E-Commerce Toolbox Expert Perspectives, a podcast by Noibu, where we explore the elite strategies and cutting-edge insights with our expert guests. Get ready to propel your e-commerce business to the next level.
Welcome to the E-Commerce Toolbox Expert's Perspective. Joining us all the way from Spain, we got George Ramirez. George recently headed up e-com and digital marketing at JomaSport. Welcome, George. We're super excited to have you on the podcast.
Hello, how are you? I'm really pleased to have you to be here. Really nice to meet you and really nice to be part of the show.
Of course. So just to start off, I always like to get to know the person I'm interviewing a bit better. Why don't you talk us through your career journey and how you ended up heading up e-com and digital marketing for a company like Joma?
Sure. I started working in Decathlon. I don't know if you know this brand. It's a sports goods brand and it's a French brand. And I started working as, well, sales assistant. Well, it was really different from the job I'm currently doing, but it gave me a lot of experience and really taught me how to understand retail. And it was really nice. I spent there like 10 years. The first three of them were in the store, working, as I told you, as sales assistant and also store director. And then I switched and I started my career as well in the digital world, in the e-commerce of Decathlon. And well, I keep growing also on the marketing teams. After that, I switched to Kiwoko, pet care brand, and also as digital manager. And well, after that, all the jobs I have been in development were related with digital. And also went to 3 Tinta. It's, well, a brand in relation with office supplies. And then Joma. And as I told you, always working with digital projects, digital transformation and digital marketing.
Cool. Just out of curiosity, more than anything, is there anything that you remember from being in the store that kind of helped you develop more empathy for the customers as you started to curate and build online digital experience? Like, what are kind of some of your key takeaways?
Yeah, I think that if I have to tell you, it's my most interesting part of my job experience. It's that one, the one I lived in the store, because I think it is the base of what I really actually do in the digital, because it seemed that it is really different what we make in the digital world and what we live in the physical stores, but it is really connected. So all the things I developed on the stores, I try to make like a comparison and also apply it to digital because it normally always has sense. So yes, I'm really grateful for working on physical stores and learn a lot from the customers. So I think every people working on retail, any kind of retail, e-retail or physical retail, should have been an experience on the physical stores and in contact with the customers.
I agree. I think a lot of decisions can sometimes be made in boardrooms without really truly understanding the customer journey. And I think that's where companies get it wrong sometimes. So I'm curious, as I mentioned before, you just kind of concluded your role at Joma, but I'm very curious to learn a bit more about your experience in the organization and kind of what are some of the most important takeaways?
Before explaining you the most important learnings, I would like you to present Joma. Joma is a Spanish brand. It was founded in 1965. It is based on Toledo. It's a city near Madrid, like 80 kilometers away. And actually, it is making over 300 million euros turnover annually. So just to make you an idea of what Joma is, Joma was the first family business I have been working for. The previous experience I had, as I told you, was on big corporations like Decathlon. So it is really different where I lived in Joma in comparison with where I lived in the other companies. There are a lot of pros and cons, as you can imagine, because family corporations are quite different. But one of the biggest learnings I had was that I need to be really good at bureaucracy, because the way you speak with the founder, the way you speak with, in this case, the family of the founder that was leading the company in the different areas, I think it's really important. And also, one of the most important things I learned is that sometimes you cannot set the rhythm of the company and with the rhythm of your business unit. You need to follow and adapt the company's rhythm. And I think it's really important because, well, it's a family, the decisions they make They do it with their money and their own capital. So it's quite important to be aligned with what they think.
That makes a ton of sense. And as we look to dive in, I think we'll spend a lot of time on replatforming here. So as we look to dive in on replatformings, I'm very curious, what is the definition of a replatforming in your own words? Because I know that people use it in different contexts. Sometimes I hear replatforming, but really it means you're just changing a part of the website. Maybe you're actually changing e-com platforms. So I'm curious in your own words to learn a bit more about what that means to you.
Well, if I had to define replatforming, I would say that be prepared for the war. Okay, it's really kind of war because it's like, okay, we need to change everything. We need to make a big change in the company. And it should be made on a short period of time. So it's like be prepared for the war. I think in a process of replatforming, a lot of things need to be changed. And it involves not only building the new platform, but also, for example, switching platforms. I think that you need to know that you have to build a new one, but also turn off the previous one. So it's like, okay, we focus on the new one, but don't forget that you have a previous one that is currently working and it's the one that is making the business for the company. You have to also think on the tools that are currently working, and it is not the platform only, but also, for example, the ERP, the middle office tools, the product information management system, a lot of tools that are working at the same time and that are connected to the previous platform and need to be again connected to the new one. So it's like, okay, take that into account because they are important. Also, I think that if we speak about platforming, we need to speak about traffic because it's like the main thing that we are afraid of when we speak about replatforming. And also, there is like a main goal that the direction team or the board used to tell you is don't lose a penny along this process. No? So I think if we take that 4 bullet points into account, you will have a very clear definition of replatforming.
That makes sense. I think your note about it being war is bang on. It's pretty distracting. It's all consuming to the business. And to your point, we'll get into some of these. But yeah, I'm curious, when do you know that you actually have to do a replatform in your own opinion and in your own experience? Like, when is the right time?
Well, that's a difficult question because there's not a unique answer for that. And a lot of people used to ask me, is always a replatforming process necessary for a company? And it's a really tough question to answer. Not always. I think it's really related with the point where the company is and the goals that the company has. Because sometimes we think that a replatform could be the way to solve all the problems in a company, speaking about digital area. But sometimes a replatform could involve more troubles than benefits. So I would say that making a replatform process is really related with the point of the company, where the company exactly is.
Yeah, I think to your point, I think when the platform and the technology stack that you currently have is blocking you from actually making progress towards your goals, like let's say it's omnichannel, or let's say it's, hey, I want to launch a new country every 3 months, right? And your platform's not enabling that or making it too expensive. I think that's something that could be a really, really good caveat to do a replatforming. From that standpoint, we know that they're sticky. They take time. They typically get delayed. They always go over budget. And then when you launch them, performance sometimes slips. So I'm curious, how should you look at that if you're an e-com leader? Should you plan for things like KPIs, revenues to actually take a temporary step backwards? Or what's your thoughts on KPIs post-replatforming?
Yeah, I really think that KPIs are crucial for making a replatform. I can't understand a replatform without KPIs. They don't need always to be money KPIs related, because sometimes, as you were telling, that you make every platform not only because business objectives or goals, but also because user experience or functionalities. So not always money KPIs are the right ones. But I think that you have to have very clear goals defined and also be very transparent with the board of the company or with the executive team, because they have to be really aligned with the goals you define. Sometimes I have seen a lot of replatforming processes where the CDO is really convinced about doing it and have the goals really clear, but finally the direction team, the board, they don't know exactly what you are trying to do, what you have in your mindset. And finally, every platform has different results from the board expectations. So I think that KPIs are crucial, and having the KPIs really clear and being transparent with the board also. So the question is a big yes. KPIs, not always related with money, but always clear and shared with the board.
I think to your point as well, like especially when it's going to unblock something that's very important to the business, like launching in new countries quicker or developing a true omni channel or doing personalization at scale. I think as soon as you launch it, to your point, especially because a lot of platforms get integrated into legacy ERPs or things like that, it's always going to be a bit messy and performance could take a hit. Your traffic could decrease. You could be directing people to 404s and broken pages, and AdSense could take a hit. So I think there's a lot of kind of complexities that come out of the backside of that. But obviously, a large part of your journey has been optimizing the customer experience. What are kind of some of the things that have you excited around basically the new tools and things that are coming to market, or how the platforms are evolving around customer experience and how you can kind of drive a better one?
When I was thinking about replatforming in general, I was thinking that making a replatforming, as I was telling you, is not only about money and growing in money, but also improving the user experience. And when you choose, for example, one platform, I would not only think in if it is scalable, like allows you to grow, but also which kind of user experience offers to your customers and how that company that is building the platform is thinking of the user experience. And I'm also thinking of functionalities such as omnichannel functionalities. How can you connect your business with them? CRM functionalities, customer service functionalities. So I think that the user experience is crucial when you choose a platform, and it should be part of your roadmap and be part of how you build the platform you want to have in order to give the right answers to the customers and fulfill the expectations of customers. So if I have to speak, for example, right now of any functionality regarding user experience that I would always think is about, for example, CRM and artificial intelligence, for example, how to give the right answers and make it efficient. I would say also how to give a lot of responses to the customers in terms of omnichannel that I find is crucial for retailers. How can we connect not only customers with the digital part, but also with the stores and the physical? And I really find it really necessary, not only thinking about money goals, but also user experience goals and how you imagine how would be the connection between customers and the brand.
I think that makes sense. I think what you're saying makes, especially for omnichannel retailers, and I know this has been a big push. How do you leverage CRM data? It's really hard to map if you have two separate systems from your CRM to your e-com platform. It's hard to like map the customer IDs. So how do you actually build like an omnichannel ID for your customer base so that whether they're coming online or they're going in a store and you're reading the notes, they're getting kind of like you're leveraging the previous experiences that they had to give them a better experience today. So that's a really good point. On that note, choosing a platform is kind of the $1 million idea and the $1 million question. What are some of the characteristics that you think of to choose the right platform for the right business?
Well, here I think that there is not a perfect platform for every company. For example, I have been working for a lot of years with Salesforce, and it doesn't mean that it is the best one. And let me explain, because when I start into a new business, new company, new project, and they ask me for a replatforming, I first think of making a benchmark about which platform is the best one for the new project I am starting. I cannot give always the same answer to the question, which is the best platform. So understanding the needs of the business and making a match between the business goals and the platform's functionalities or what a platform offers is really important. I have been working for Salesforce, as I was telling you, for, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years. And I really find it a really interesting platform. But I wouldn't say that it's the perfect platform for every customer, for every project, for every company. And also, if I speak about replatforming, I would speak about money, about investment, about how many money want a company to invest in a project like this. because I think that the main goal every time is making the project and the business units profitable. So it doesn't make sense to be thinking of replatforming with a platform that costs more than what your P&L is able to support. So I think that there are like a lot of key points that you need to take into account and always be matching the business goals with what platform can offer you and make a comparison and see if it really fulfills and match in the most of the important things. So I am not thinking always of one platform. You need to take into account a lot of things.
It's kind of like a first principles approach, right? If you look at the requirements of the project and then you map that to the business, depending on the P&L size, depending on what it could support, and then from a maintenance standpoint, and then kind of mapping out the pros and cons towards the different platforms. Some are obviously cheaper, but maybe have less flexibility. And it depends on kind of not only where the business is today, but where you want to take it. George, as we look to close up, super curious, last question I always like to ask guests is, what do you think the biggest challenge in e-com is today for people that are kind of at your level heading up e-com? Like, what do you think leading into 2024? What are some of the biggest challenges that you think they have?
Well, 2024 has started really, really strong in a strong way. I mean, we always think when we start the year that it has been a really tough year. And I have that feeling in the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 years. And every time I start a new year, it's like, whoa, it's going to be a tough one. I think that 2024 is going to be again like this. But if I had to speak about the challenges of this year, I would say that we are going to experience a lot of changes, new changes. I would say we're telling you artificial intelligence is coming really, really strong. And we need to know how to adapt that new technology to the business necessities, to the business needs. And I think that we need to be really agile at that point and be conscious of using that new technology is really useful, but it's really new and we need to be really sure of what we are doing, like making steps really fast, maybe in the future would be not the best option. So it's a mix between being really updated with that technology, but don't make things really, really fast.
Yeah, I think it's really important. I think a lot of interesting technology has hit the market. And to your point, if you pivot your entire strategy too quickly, you might regret it 6 months later. You spent a lot of money and it doesn't actually align to what you're doing. I think people not getting overhyped on the technology cycle, I think it's going to be really, really important. I think if you remember with Web3 and crypto, and I think AI has way more use cases than that, but I think we had some retailers that we saw invest in metaverse stores and a lot of things that ended up just effectively driving zero or negative value for the business. So George, it's been a great time chatting with you. And I want to thank you on behalf of Noibu for your time today. And thanks. A really, really, really valuable chat.
Thank you very much for inviting me to the show. I'm really pleased to be here and thank you a lot.
No worries.
The E-Commerce Toolbox Expert Perspectives is brought to you by Noibu. To find out more about Noibu and how we can help you debug your e-commerce site and rocket your revenue, visit www.noibu.com. That's N-O-I-B-U.com. And then make sure to search for the E-Commerce Toolbox Expert Perspectives on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or anywhere else podcasts are found and click subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes. On behalf of the team here at Noibu, thanks for listening.